I want to welcome everybody to another wonderful edition of Saturday AM Live with spring in the air. It's always easier to get up, for me anyways, on the West Coast at 5:36-ish and host this. And by the way, this is Vance Rogers, your wonderful host. And today with us is a wonderful individual that, you know, Karen, I don't know if we've ever met in person. I guess I should have asked that the other day when we spoke, but I feel like I know you already really well from our time on the phone. But Karen Hannigan is a nutritional, and let's see if I can get this right, microscopist. There we go. See, I sat this morning and I rattled it off my tongue over and over and over, just hoping that I could get it right, and it just didn't work. But I'll bet you, it probably took you a while to get it right too, correct?
Yeah, it did. It's a little practice, so. Definitely.
Karen, let's jump right on into things. I didn't even ask what your background was before you developed, and we'll throw this out right at the beginning here, a condition called celiac disease, which, for the record, is a basically, well, you define it. You're better at it than I am.
Okay. Well, celiac disease is a food allergy, allergic to wheat, which includes flour, oats, rye, and barley. And it's not necessarily an allergy to oat itself, but oats are contaminated in the fields due to cross-contamination of what is being grown or blown over onto the oats. And so it's actually the gluten that's found in the flour and all that is a food allergy.
Okay. So basically, and I'm laying that out right at the beginning here so people can get an understanding, because your background occupationally prior to literally being derailed with the discovery of celiac disease, what did you do for an occupation?
Well, I had worked with some government contracts prior to ever getting married, continued that after we were first married, but then I was an at-home mom for several years.
Okay.
And was fortunate to be able to do that.
Okay. So working in government out in the real world, as I say, because people never say that Vance really works. He just has a fake job because he sits at home all day, so they think. But anyways, that's just the beauty of Mekan, is it keeps people wondering. But Karen, prior to developing celiac disease, doing that, you're just a regular, you know, housewife at times, regular stay-at-home mom, normal person. You didn't do anything to basically invite this condition. All of a sudden, you're going through life, and what happened?
Well, it wasn't quite that simple. I've been sick my entire life, not knowing why. And at age 11 is when doctors actually began lab work. But it wasn't, I'm 55 now, and it wasn't until 2.5 years ago it was diagnosed.
Wow.
So my health actually crumbled. And in 1992, I was diagnosed with what they considered was lupus. At that point, my life totally changed. I had never heard the word lupus. I didn't know it was lethal. It was a brand new thing to me. And so, you know, my journey began with that. I continued going to the physicians, and based on my health, depended if I saw the doctor every month or every 3 months, was put on heavy medication. By December of 1998, to be precise, I had internal bleeding. I had been re-diagnosed. At that point, they figured it was palindromic rheumatoid, which was a very fast-acting rheumatoid, and I was told that I had 3 to 5 years to be in a wheelchair at that point. In December of 98, I had internal bleeding and damage to the right side of my heart due to the steroids and the anti-inflammatories and the meds that they had me on.
Okay, so if I can, in my mind, I'm hearing that this is a little bit more than your standard food allergy.
Exactly.
Because
that's what it came down.
Okay, because you were basically not knowing what you were dealing with. And a lot of us, we go through life, and all of a sudden we start to develop something, we start to feel something a little odd, and most of the time we just grin and bear it and we move on. But then if it starts to get a little bit worse, we go and let those Western medicine, and I will always state this up front, I'm not knocking Western medicine, I fully believe in it. However, I know too many people who have been practiced upon, and you're the primary example, because they, we go to school in the medical field, and if we get a degree to practice medicine, that's merely what they're doing. And so they're basically using you as a guinea pig, and it sounds like the medications that you were given, they might have helped some of the conditions, but the symptoms of the medications may have been worse than the actual problem you were dealing with.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm just taking a stab in the dark here.
Yeah, you hit it. You nailed it.
So, up in, yeah. but 10 years ago, it's been about 10 years since you were introduced to Nikan. What happened? What changed?
Well, I was introduced to Nikan through a lady by the name of Janice out of Michigan. And she had heard through a mutual friend that I was having these physical ailments, and she really didn't, bless her heart, she really did not give me a whole lot of options, because she called me up, told me what she was sending me, and she did. She mailed a mite out to me. I personally was going to prove her wrong, because I was the biggest skeptic ever and thought this was a bunch of hooey. I left the product set for 3 months. For three weeks, and the only reason I even tried them is because she kept calling me. She wouldn't leave me alone. So I ended up trying the product just basically to have her leave me alone. I was just going to say, see, it's not working. But first, second day, I felt absolutely nothing happening. But by that third day, when I was able to literally get out of bed immediately, which never happened, and I was able to get up and walk without hanging on to the wall. I just kept thinking, what is going on? I felt nothing physically happening, but I was able to get up and do, and that hadn't happened.
Okay, and so before that, getting up and doing was more like a crawling exercise, what do you mean?
Getting up out of bed, just even walking. I was lucky to stand 5 minutes, seriously, before all of this.
Okay, and you just admitted without me asking that you're 55 years old today. So this would have put you right in your mid-40s, 5 years older than I am. And you were kind of, it sounds to you like more like a condition of somebody in their, mid-80s or late 70s.
Oh, I felt, yes.
Okay.
I was literally, I believe this firmly, I was dying a piece away a day.
Wow. Okay. And what?
And trust me, I welcome that thought.
Okay. So you're not the first. Trust me. We talk to people all the time who are literally like, "Hey, God, this is no way to live. So I'm ready to go. Go ahead and take me home." What was your husband? How did this put a strain on you guys' relationship?
Well, he's working. Of course, he's retired now, but. He was working, so life continued with him going off to work, and the kids were in school at this point, and so I was just basically there fending for myself.
Okay. So you just kept going through. So you had this incredible experience with the product, still not knowing that you were dealing with a major, literally life-altering. I think you actually, the word that you chose was a life-threatening condition. And start using the product and start getting results. And then you just said, but really, up until 2.5 years ago, you didn't know what you even were dealing with.
Exactly. Nikan helped me to stay out of that wheelchair. It gave me a value to life again, but it still didn't get to the source of my problem. And it took continual digging, and it's nothing short of a miracle how this all came about, because I, through my research and just constantly digging for an answer, I finally came across mercury poisoning, and I had many of the symptoms of mercury poisoning. I set an appointment up with my dentist, which said, oh, yeah, this sounds like this might be it, referred me off to a specialist that deals with mercury issues, another dentist, and I went to this gentleman. He said, yes, that it could possibly be that, and for the tune of about $5,000, he could remove all my fillings and replace them. But then he said to me, but I don't think that's what your problem is. And he said, I want you to go see this holistic doctor that he himself had been seeing. He goes, yours and my symptoms are too similar. And that's how I found out. I went to this holistic physician. After a hair, a saliva, and a urine analysis and some lab work, it all came back as celiac disease.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
That's how it all began.
Karen, as a little technical thing that might help us out, and I think it just dawned on me to get rid of the echo, I'm going to take a stab in the dark here and say that you're on a cell phone headset, correct?
Correct. Can we take that off?
If you could, and I'll just I'll get with my next train of thought. If you can you just go to the regular, that's usually what causes the echo, and we'll just jump right back into track here. So, you know, one of the many things that we deal with helping people with the Meekin product and this incredible business opportunity that we have is that we start, I guess the easiest way to say it is to quote a friend of ours who said, you know, it's not so much when you get into Meekin, it's when Meekin gets into you that we start discovering a little bit more, almost like peeling back an onion, the layers that need to be peeled back so we can experience wellness, not just physically, but physically and financially, in that we start getting a different picture, a different awareness of, you know, the five pillars of health. And so coming up to, again, getting back to that 2.5 year point where you were diagnosed with celiac disease, and even when your introduction to Meekin, you started studying the arena of nutrition, which brought our paths across, because I've been on the other side, not one who studies it, but one the mother of one who studies it as a guinea pig, and learned from her experience, and I'm eternally grateful for the upbringing I had, because now I'm passing that on to our own kids, my wife and I, and seeing the difference in them as opposed to some of their classmates and their friends at church. Some of the physical things they're already dealing with as kids, and statistically, you and I were talking about this the other day, that the age where it was the norm for people to start coming down with conditions like celiac disease, like anything under the sun, that's being lowered. And there was a statistic that you quoted to me that I thought was incredibly profound about the age for certain conditions being reduced down from what was that again?
Well, that deals with food enzymes. The standard was that at about age 40, we begin to produce less food enzymes, and therefore the breakdown of food becomes harder on our system. But now, because of the type of foods that we're eating and the way people's lifestyles are, I've actually heard the number has dropped down to age 27.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a huge jump, and the question is why?
Okay.
You know, well,
and I think the simple answer would be that because of, so much of our food consumption comes from non-organic farms, which, you know, you look at the term organic, and you're thinking 20, 30 years ago, this term didn't even exist, because most of the farming and most of the things that we consumed that grew from the ground were just grown naturally. Now with the excessive use of herbicides, and actually even this is what always floors me about nutrition, is that developing plants and fruits and vegetables that are actually resilient to certain chemicals that should kill them, but we've so genetically modified them, and that they no longer, you can spray weed killer right on certain plants, and it does not kill them because they're just the way they've developed. And then thinking, wow, wait a second, if we're doing that to what we're eating, how is that affecting our energy level? How is that affecting our body? And you are a primary example. So let's on the focus on nutrition, and this is where I really want to hone into, because you have an incredible experience, actually, too, with your son, which I think, and why don't we do that, and then we'll go and jump into some of the nutritional aspects. But share with the group what happened with your son and what's happened as of lately.
You speaking of my grandson?
Oh, I'm sorry, your grandson, yes.
Okay.
Your daughter's a nurse, and I'm like, okay, that's right, you're in your 50s, so you don't have a son that's... Unless you were born on the Abraham and Sarah thing, which I don't think you were. Yeah, none of that wasn't taking place. So your grandson, go ahead.
My grandson, he is 6 years old now, and he just celebrated his sixth birthday this last month. And but when he was born with a heart condition. At 4 days old, he had open heart surgery. What they thought was transposition of the great vessel ended up being a whole lot more once they opened him up and discovered an additional problem. This again happened. He had to have open heart surgery again at 8 months. At 6 months old, they had said that they gave him 2 months at that point to live because they did not know what to do. But the physicians down in Indy went to a pediatric cardiac convention, a nationwide one, took his pictures, presented it before many doctors, and came back with an answer. At 8 months old, he had open heart surgery. And they said they weren't sure if they were going to be able to completely repair the arteries and all because they weren't sure they could reach the left side. However, they managed to do everything. Everything was fine. He, at the point that he came home from the hospital, which he was, I think, 3 weeks old after his open heart, he came home with no breathing apparatus whatsoever, nothing. He came home just to do his healing, and we instantly put him on Nikon products, put him on, at the time it was the travel pad, which had the magnets and the far infrared in it, and that to this day is still on his bed. That was just a genuine gift handed to him for life, and he has valued tremendously from that alone. We also began after his second surgery, and I can't remember the exact age. I'm going to say probably around 2, but I'm guessing at that. We began him on Jade and on Lactoferrin and Siaga, and he continues going to the doctor every 6 months, running heart echoes and seeing the cardiac doctor. And he had a year ago where he was having a leaky valve. So we began kicked in some other nutritionals for him. And here, not even 6 months ago, the last appointment he had, the leaky valve itself was improving. Mm. And so, you know, while he has his challenges, it's very few because most children who have this condition he has are very, very sick, and sure, many of them don't even make it.
Sure.
And here he is, looking at him, you'd never know he is sick. Never.
Wow. And you said he's how old again today? Or how young?
He just turned 6.
Turned 6, okay.
6 years old. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I know that it's such, our, just normally, naturally as human beings, it's one thing as adults to deal with things because, again, as I said before, we kind of grin and bear it, and we can get sympathy and compassion from other people. But however, when it comes down to a child who is completely
yeah.
and it's not anything they did or anything they brought upon themselves, and that then you see the turnaround, this amazing turnaround when you change the person's environment and start introducing technologies like Nikon has, and then changing the diet and introducing the nutritionals. And that's really what I think that we can glean from your experience as a nutritional
microscopist.
And what that is those of us who are familiar with Ted Aloisio and now his third book has just hit the book stands to purchase. I just forgot the name of it. Something Quad 3, something like that. But his first two books, Blood Never Lies, and then the second version of that as well, taught us, and we've learned from people like yourself and like Ted, is that you can actually study. You take live blood samples, put them under the microscope, and look at them to study what the body is deficient in. And you had a client, and I don't know if you're willing to divulge that story. I guess you could because you're not sharing her name, but someone who came in recently and wasn't really willing to change, wanted to find out what their condition was. But do you see that a lot, or are most people willing to change when they realize that, hey, my body is sick, my blood is very sick, these cells are not the way they should be? But share that one. I thought that was pretty profound.
Okay. Yeah, this woman, she was a very obese woman, and she came walking in, huffing and puffing, was a smoker, a heavy smoker. And in the process of talking, I went ahead, I had some basic questions that I asked, and plus I have a questionnaire that they must fill out. And in the questionnaire, one of the questions is, how much water a day do you drink? And her answer was 4 ounces. And when I asked her that, she says, well, I just drink maybe 4 ounces just to get my medicine down me. Then I have a Coke in my hand all day long. In the process of doing her blood, it was the worst blood I to this day have seen. And I pointed this out to her, and I said, you know, if you don't mind, I want to re-stick you, because this also could be an indication of dehydration, the fact that she only gets 4 ounces a day in her. In the process of re-sticking her, the cells did separate quite a bit, but then they instantly went right back into clusters. And at that point, I talked with her, and her comment to me back was, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to make any changes. You know, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go, and that's the way it's going to be. And she was very adamant about it, and no matter what I was saying, I was getting nowhere with her. I finally was quite upset, and I looked at her and I said, then why did you bother coming? And she goes, well, I was just curious what it looked like. And I don't know to this day if she's made any changes, because I know once I showed her, I had her drink the optimized water, and I showed her then at that point the change that it made in her blood, that she did not have the sludge issues, that it separated, even though it instantly went back within, you know, a matter of seconds. But still, that showed her the power behind drinking water. And she made a comment, well, maybe, you know, maybe I can do that, but I don't know if she's ever made that change. I don't believe she ever ordered anything with the suggestions that were made. But then this is where it comes down to people choosing their lifestyle and what their future holds for them. I do see people that, you know, they come in, they're serious, they're worried, but then they go out and they don't do anything. And I think a problem that lies with that is most people are uneducated. They don't know where to begin.
Sure.
And if we could teach them where to begin, what steps to take, which is something I've been doing here in Fort Wayne at the fire station. I've been trying to do that with the community and just open it free just to teach this. You know, that's a place that we all need to begin, especially with Nikan too, is teach them how, because just throwing it in their lap and walking away doesn't give them anything other than a product.
Sure.
And you have to inform them. I am working in the Amish community right now with nutritional microscopy, and the first time I went, I walked away from there and I said I felt so blessed, because these are people who are serious about wanting to be healthy. And my question was, why can't people be like this? Why can't people really take an interest in their health and want this for themselves? I mean, do they think they don't deserve this? Do they feel that they're not worthy of it? I don't quite understand the processing that people go through and their thinking there. And again, I still hold to the fact that people are uneducated. So that's some place that, again, we all need to start with.
And that's one of the things that I want to, before we run out of time here, I want to really hone in on that, giving just a couple tips. As our listening audience, you know, wellness consultants, we are in that percentage of people who want to make a change. And we know that there are people out there who, as you said, they're just not educated enough to know the simplicity of making some little small corrections. Because what was it I saw on the news that with the new stadium in New York City that's opening up, and I'm sorry for you baseball fans out there that I don't know, Yankee Stadium, I believe, that one of the restaurants nearby is serving a burger, and just over, oh my goodness, was it 3,500 calories or something? No, it was 350 grams of fat or something like that. But it was absolutely 2 pounds. 2 pounds of ground beef on this thing. And we in our society just don't realize that, you know, that's really not that healthy for you. Come on.
Exactly.
It's pretty simple. But one of the things that I think we can really do with people, and you've kind of spearheaded this, is what are some of the things that some of the simple things. Now, obviously, with this gal who was drinking 4 ounces of water, we all can be consuming more water, and we're really doing ourselves a disservice if we're getting out of the tap or getting out of a bottle, because as you know, Charlie Franklin so eloquently has always stated that when it comes to water filtration, either you have an external device or you become your body, your body's organs become that device, and we have to filter.
Exactly.
So obviously we can increase the water consumption. What are some of the other things that you, some of the quick tips? Now, aside from getting on Neekens Nutritionals, which I'll do a quick commercial here for, based on our conversation the other day, that we're going to have you back and go through kind of what I would like to dub as Neekens Nutrition 101 and some of the tips that you've discovered from to utilize to get the maximum benefit out of the Neekens Nutritional program. Some of them even not even swallowing, dumping them under our tongue, because I believe the words that you used were your mouth is the greatest, what was it again?
The mouth is the most absorbing part of your body.
Okay, so getting it, rather than just swallowing them, hey, we may have a better benefit. So we're going to get into that in a few weeks from now. We're going to have you back. We already got that on the calendar. But other than that, what are some of the tips that you, like, say you were, so I meet you at the fire station there, and
mm-hmm.
which is ironic being as a volunteer firefighter, and that would be something that I would probably do if I was in Fort Wayne. What would you give me? I'm already using Neekens Nutritionals. What are some of the other tips that I could do to get that creative, to get that edge, and also as we get in closer to summer, that, you know, maybe I could take off a few pounds or come down a size or two.
Okay. I'm sorry?
I know that was a big loaded question, like five questions all rolled into one, but...
Okay. Yeah, I definitely begin with digestion. In fact, that's where I began with my teaching here at the fire station. Beginning with digestion, because everything that goes in your mouth, including water, determines the functioning of your body. And so that's where I definitely begin. Things that you can do is a food enzyme. I mean, I can't push that enough. That is something that is an absolute must, and I think for just about every human being walking on this earth, I even see the benefits of giving it to children. And, you know, especially with the foods and the snacks and everything that these kids are eating, they're going to need help now to prevent anything happening in the future with them. The lifestyle change is the beginning. You've got to watch what goes in your mouth. And if you don't know anything on that, that is a place to begin your education by the type of foods that go in your mouth. You know, we put things in our mouth like meats, and meats are the most acidic foods you can put in your mouth. And I'm not, you know, condoning meat, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you have a process here. Pork is the hardest to digest. Beef is the next to the last of the hardest. Then you've got your chicken, turkey, and fish, of course, is the easiest to digest. So there's a place where you can begin. If you're eating red meat, eliminate it. Eliminate your pork. Pork, you have no business eating pork, period. That's the end of that. And, you know, you need to begin with right there.
Let me ask you this, Karen. You said that meat is the most acidic thing that we
mm-hmm.
can consume. Does that really make a difference as far as our acid level in the body?
Oh, you bet. pH is goes right along with digestion. They are hand in hand because, again, your pH is based on what goes in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have a healthy body, you have to have your pH in balance.
Okay, now let me ask you this question, because I have quoted you, and I mentioned this the other day on the phone. I have quoted you since October, since Neekens introduced the digestion formula, the redeveloping of it. You had said along the lines that there is not a product out there that matches this as far as giving the body the leg up to break down the proteins, fats, carbs, and sugars in the body. Why do you feel so strongly about Neekens digestion?
I have actually seen the difference even in myself and my sister. This is a prime example of digestion. My sister, which lives with us, she's mentally and physically handicapped, and I take care of her. She is a diabetic, and I have been able to actually take her off her medication just by giving her food enzymes and other supplements that work with diabetes. And when I see this, I got to correct this because it took me a while to figure this out with her. I couldn't put two and two together easily for me. When you take a food enzyme, do not take it with any other medications, any other supplements, anything else. Because the food enzyme, its purpose is to get in there and melt things off and get things moving out of the system. It keeps the food from storing in your system, which is where we have a big, huge problem with digestion. And the food sets and stores and ferments and rots, and then we've got a whole ball game of other things going on based on that. So the food enzymes will get in, take care of that issue, and move it out of the system. And that's the thing I was doing. I was kind of mixing her meds with her food enzymes and wasn't thinking, and I was having a horrible time keeping her numbers down. Well, when it dawned on me what I was doing, and I took her off everything, gave her the food enzymes separately, her sugars are beautiful. I still have to check her every day, but they're the numbers are just writing beautiful right now. And so this shows the power behind food enzymes with the diabetic. And, you know, she does take other supplements after she's done eating, and the food enzymes have had the time to work, including the jade. She also takes cinnamon capsules. That also helps to balance the sugar. So, you know, the digestion issue, the enzymes, I cannot say enough about. I love the idea. First, I was kind of concerned with the idea that, you know, how they changed it, because I knew it was working well. But then when I saw what they were doing, it's like, oh, this is only going to improve diabetes and metabolic syndrome and a whole slew of issues that people are going through.
Sure.
You know, because as I stated, everything begins with what starts in their mouth. And, you know, the enzyme should be the first thing in your mouth before food goes in your mouth.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's one of the things, and I know that one of the common things that you and I share is that both of us, in the last two years, we've both dropped 40 pounds. So and it's gone. It's not coming back. We didn't lose it. And you know that term, I was thinking about that the other day. It's almost a negative term. You know, I lost 10 pounds. Why can't we just say, you know, I gave 10 pounds away? You know, that's more of a positive.
Oh.
Now, this is the way my brain works. And I'm sorry for people that are like, well, that's just the way our culture is. You know, you lose weight. But losing is a negative thing. Why can't we switch it around and say, no, I gave it up. I just donated it. And
yeah.
Back. It's gone.
Well, that changes. Yeah, that changes the mindset, so that would make sense. And because that's one thing that I've learned here in the last month or so, you need to change the brain. That you need to change your thinking process.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be an excellent start.
Yeah, just another. But that's what I want to go into when we talk again, because I think we've just scratched the tip of the surface here, that there are simple things we can do. And, you know, I'm adamant about the digestion as well, and I tend to find myself talking more about that one thing as far as getting that and the cleanse, and this is a whole other subject, and I want to get into that when we chat again.
Okay.
Because it's a huge thing, and your strong position on that is getting the enzymes in the body to allow them to break down our food will give us literally, no pun intended, a leg up, that we should be getting the legs up and moving around and doing exercise and that kind of thing and being, you know, active. But it really, the bottom line, I guess for me, what I've discovered in my own physical body and watching a few of the people that have kind of got started on this track is that we really can give them a leg up, because our mindset with the fad diets and with going one extreme and one obsession to the next is that we're doing ourselves a disservice. Why don't we develop a pattern or a lifestyle of something we can live with? Why cut out when we can just add simple things and tweak it a bit?
Mm-hmm.
But I know
mm-hmm.
I'm preaching to the choir. So, but Karen, give us one last tip besides the digestion, besides the enzymes, as we wrap up this great conversation. What would be another thing that you would say if someone, hey, a few months from now, as you blast into summer, and as a female, you want to look better in that swimsuit, if you're going to spend some time at the beach, or if you're going to be out and, you know, wearing clothes that are a little bit more revealing, what's another tip?
I don't know if I lost you there. I guess the thing that I preach over and over to people is to change your lifestyle. That is something that we are stuck in a mode. I'm not sure where the training came from, But we are stuck in a mode, and if we actually change our life and change the way that we look at food altogether, then we're going to be able to put what's healthy in our mouth in the first place. You know, we need to realize disease is a lack of balance. It is not a germ.
Mm.
And we can control disease.
We just
need to take the steps to do so. I want to share something. Yesterday, my grandson, my six-year-old grandson here, I had all four of them, and because it's spring break this week, but my daughter, she's a nurse, and I don't know why she did this, but she picked up donuts and brought them by for the kids, and I don't buy donuts at all. And she brought them by for breakfast, and it's like, oh, I can't believe you did this. Well, Blake comes up to me after he's had his yummy donut, according to him, and he says, Nana, I know why they call donuts that. And I said, why? She goes, because they're made from dough, and they have nuts in them. I says, no, really, they're made from dough, and only nuts would eat them. So, anyway, he just kind of looked at me and walked away, and he didn't quite get it, but, you know.
Oh, that's funny. See, another thing you and I have in common is our hatred, our loathing attitude towards donuts. They may taste good going down, but 45 minutes later, I've watched our oldest be the same way. She said to us, you know, I just don't like the way I feel after I eat certain things. We're like, wow, that's wonderful. Well, Karen, thank you again. And I know there's so much more that you want to share, and that's why we're going to go into it. It'll be the part two of this conversation of getting into some of the simple things that we can do nutritionally. And I think this will be a powerful conversation. I know it'll be a powerful conversation of just giving some simple, because I know there's a lot of things that I've learned and I've gleaned from people like Roger Drummer and my mom and Dave Balzer and talking and just learning how to, we're already using the Nika Nutritional, so why don't we give our bodies the most effective chance? And as you said that, okay, if you start with getting the good stuff in before you even consume the food, you're really going to give your body the opportunity to not only digest it properly, but get the energy out of it. So that's what we'll go into. But thank you for sharing part of your day. And I'm looking forward to it. And did you just say it this way? Let me get this straight here, because I think I wrote it down correctly. But disease is not a germ, but a lack of balance. Is that the way you said it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to quote you on that one, too, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's fine.
So Karen Hannigan, again, has been our guest, and I want to thank her. And if you know somebody or if we went too fast in covering something, jump on to growingandwellness.com to hear portions of the recording. You can also order a copy of the CD. Great resource to utilize for people who, like a lot of folks in our culture, are nutritionally inept. And let someone whose life was going down the road, living hell, the way I interpret the way you were describing it. And just a huge tool for people that just don't know any better. And well, maybe you may not even have celiac disease, but dealing with other conditions that the balance needs to be tweaked. So again, growingandwellness.com is the website. And Karen, thank you again so much. And
thank you.
Really appreciate it, and we'll look forward. And I believe, did we come up with the date? I think we were targeting to shoot for, was it May 2nd? I think. And if you
don't know if we did, but yeah, I can book it for that.
Okay, well, let's target that, and we'll go ahead and put that announcement out. So a month from now, May 2nd, the first Saturday in May, and we'll make that happen, and Karen will be back with us again.
Okay.
So, all right, well, thank you again. And I'll bid everybody farewell. So you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.